It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Fred, we got a 10-pound shell, get a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man, good man in the community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you. Avery. Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of the dogger. This sup for yourself. Make it enough. Sup, hot.
And tell him your name sent you. Sent you.
Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 53. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell what time it is.
Yeah, it's time to talk about who's hot, who's not. And our friend Philly Rivers.
Not good.
Crying Rivers.
He is.
See what I did there.
Right now I'm doing the Puff Daddy dance from this video right now. You can't see me. This is actually Mace, but yeah, whatever. Yeah. Welcome to That Podcast. A happy episode today as we record this. Ding Dong the Witch is dead. Philip Rivers bounced from the playoffs.
You know, and yeah. every time we do this, first of all, did you tell the kids what episode this is?
It's episode 53.
All right.
Right up top.
All right.
Knock it down.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad I'm listening to the show. all year, you know, it was like, okay, who's the other division winner? Who's undefeated? Who's 13-1?
Yep.
Who's?
Yep.
And always slipped my mind. Never thought of the Chargers.
No.
And then, you know, they get Baltimore, and yeah. Baltimore's Baltimore. They were there by default. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, this is what it is, right?
This is,
and
we are who we
thought they were. The text I received from you about Rivers yelling at everybody in the stadium, including the beer guy.
I think he yelled the beer guy.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, he was yelling at
I don't know
everybody.
What it is, and I don't know who he thinks he is.
I don't know either.
But he's on the sideline yelling at the defense on the first series.
Yelling at everything. He's yelling at the coaches. He's yelling at the refs. He's yelling at the beer vendor. He's yelling at the hot dog guy.
And he's going to go down history as maybe the best stat-wise quarterback never to win anything and never to be considered.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm assuming he's going to play a year or two more. I mean, if he hasn't already passed Marino, he probably will. But he's every time there's a big game, here's how you beat them. If you watch the game at all, the way to beat Philip Rivers is to kick him in the face.
Yeah.
That's the way to beat him. You blitz the fuck out of him, and you get to him, and you keep getting to him, and you keep getting to him, and he'll give
up
the ghost.
Because
he's a petulant child. Right.
He'll just keep chucking it.
Correct. I'm not sure if his ninth or tenth kid is more mature than he is, but one of them is more mature.
And think about this.
Yeah.
With the stats this guy has, and like I said earlier, he hasn't won anything.
No, not a thing.
But with his stats, he really should be kind of the face of the NFL, right? I mean, he should be up there in the picture with Rodgers and Brady. But he's such a douche.
Yeah, he's a complete douche.
The NFL must know that they don't want to put that up there.
Right. The analogy is, in my book, in terms of attitude, not in terms of skill related to the rest of the league. I thought about this today when I was watching the game. He's like Sidney Crosby in hockey. Sidney Crosby is the whiniest bitch ever.
Sid the kid.
That dude cries. Oh, that's why he doesn't get maybe the endorsements he should or the recognition. I mean, sure, he gets recognition because he's really, really good. He's one of the best players in the league.
But so you're saying he's the Showtime Lakers?
Oh, Mike, he's a whiny little bitch. It's all he does. Like, he scores. I mean, he plays well and everything, but like anytime anybody touches him or does the wrong, he's on him, like Philip Rivers was today. Just yelling at everything. Just a whiny little bitch.
Ryan Leaf with talent is what you're looking at.
Yes,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that guy being friends with anybody in a locker room?
I can't imagine him having friends.
I mean, I'm sure receivers are nice to him, so we'll throw the ball to him. But other than that,
And I'm sure he's nice to his offensive line because they protect him somewhat. They didn't really do that today.
Not today.
No.
There's a couple of untouched where he basically took seven steps sideways and threw the ball on the ground.
There was another one where the linebacker was basically one step away from him, and then the refs throw the flag, and the dude just hit him anyway. They just kind of went, whatever.
Yeah. That, you know what? It was a delay of game.
It was something like that. It was
Free hit.
Yeah. Just whacked him one. It was so good.
Patrick Chung just laid the chung to him.
And these guys, before the game, when I was actually just at the start, because I got there at the start of the game, they walk in and they're getting their beers, whatever, and they're like, yeah, man, I can't wait. I got the Chargers money line, and I got dumb bastard. I'm like, he was 0-7 against Brady and Belichick. 0-7. Make it 0-8.
Yeah.
Like, why would you put your money on Phillip Rivers? What possesses you to do that? Because eventually, like today, it's going to catch up with you.
Yeah, but this also goes with your betting line on until somebody beats them.
Yeah, until somebody beats the Patriots.
Right?
Yeah.
This isn't their best year. They don't have the personnel. It's all system for them.
A lot of it is system. You're right, 100%. And there was that fumble. If you remember watching the game, the fumble that they recovered, they reviewed. They originally called them out of bounds.
Yes.
But they ruled it inbounds. The guy that recovered it was McClellan. This is his last name. And I'm thinking, Shea McClellan's still on the Patriots? And then I saw, no, black guy, not Shea McClellan. No, it's not Shea McClellan. Not at all.
Not even friends with Shea McClellan.
Why would anybody be friends with Shea McClellan, to be honest with you?
Well, there's one thing.
Yeah, I know. Money.
Well, no, I was going to say the broken...
The broken leg on Rodgers. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. He did do... The one good thing he did with the Bears was break Aaron Rodgers' leg. That's true, I guess.
And the one greatest thing that Olivia Munn ever did was walk out on that...
My God. For Danica Patrick, what are you doing?
What are you
doing? Not that she's ugly or anything, but not Olivia Munn.
Right.
That's a block in the back. Oh, sorry, I got the game on.
Well, you have to... Eagles. Because it's way closer than I thought. I thought once anybody got inside the dome, it was done.
Yeah, me too. But Eagles came out with two tuts right off the top, and then Breeze led them back for another a tut. So it's 14-7 right now. They're getting ready to end the second quarter, but the Saints have the ball. Minute 18, one timeout. So we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll get a field goal out of it. We'll see.
So the Chargers defense,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like Belichick to take his foot off the gas. In fact, he was looking for extra points at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
For them to get a three in the third and a three in the fourth, and that's it?
Yeah.
I mean, did the Chargers defense just tighten up? Did they figure something out?
I just think the Patriots got super simple, and that was it. They just wanted to run the time.
They were just
the
running clock? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they had seven DBs in there.
They did.
Like on like every play.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means they let off the gas on blitzing him. And they just let him.
No. I'm saying the Chargers did.
Right.
In the first half.
It sure seemed like it. And Brady's another guy. I mean, pretty much any quarterback, with the exception of maybe Aaron Rodgers, you want to kick him in the teeth. Like that's how you beat him.
Right.
Is getting to him. But I think guys like Breeze and Rodgers, and maybe to a certain extent Brady, they get rid of the ball really quick. So it's kind of tough to do that. Meanwhile, Phillip Rivers is just like a sloth back there, so you can hit him all you want.
He is.
Yeah, that's
just big and old and white and sloppy and
bad.
That guy would have been a god in 1978.
Oh, NFL. My God. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he would have. So just to run down the game book really quick, Jay, I got it right here in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run down the scores necessarily, but I just want to point out some key stats here. The Chargers ran the ball 10 times. Not 10 times in a quarter, not 10 times in a half. 10 times for the whole game.
Did Gordon get hurt?
For 19 yards. I don't know. That's a good question. Melvin Gordon, 9 carries, 15 yards.
Wow.
Jackson, 1 carry, 4 yards. And the stat of the day was the throw the ball more than 49 times, there's a very strong chance you're going to lose. That trend continues. Phillip Rivers, 25 of 51. 331, 3 tuts, and a pick for a passer rating of 81.4.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the Pats rushed the ball 34 times for 155 yards, including Sonny Michel, 24 carries, 129 yards, 3 tuts. For Sony Michelle or Sonny Michelle.
You know, and what's not really reflected there is the 1-2 punch of him and White. because White catches a lot of passes in the backfield and like just, you know, outside the backfield, and then will run for 20 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he end up with?
You brought up White, 17 targets. That number is mind-boggling. 17 targets, right? 15 catches, 97 yards.
He only had
he only had 97 yards on 15 catches.
Right. But most of them were like three to five yarders well, but for first downs.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that? They ate 7 minutes off the clock, 7.5 minutes on the initial drive today?
The initial drive was 7 minutes, 11 seconds.
Yeah.
14 plays, and 83 yards.
Yeah. That's just.
That's rubbing your nose in it. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
100%. And
oh, I hope you like this, because this is how it's going all day.
That's right. And there was a halftime stat, which I wanted to bring up.
Do it.
So at halftime, the Patriots had, I want to say the number's 20 first downs.
Yeah.
That's an incredible amount.
Well, they had 14 on the first drive.
Yeah. The Chargers had 19 plays in the first half.
No.
Let that sink in for a minute. Patriots had 20 first downs. The Chargers had 19 plays.
Plays.
Oof. That's just not good.
And, you know, when they answered right away, I'm like, hey, this might be a game.
Yeah, and then.
And then the second series, I was able to take a nap.
Yeah, exactly. Time possession, all Pats, 38-20. So.
How many drops did Williams have today?
Let's take a look. Which one? There's two.
Right. Mikey.
Mikey had 11 targets, 5 catches.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
And he dropped one that would have been a 45-yard pickup.
Yeah, yes, I remember that play. You're right. You're right. But overall today, I mean, that's about as big of an ass-whooping. The score is definitely not indicative of the ass-whooping that happened. And the final score was 41-28. It was never that close. Ever. Just never that close.
Right.
I mean, they beat them like they stole something. And that was that. Game over, man.
Now, out of Foxborough, headed to Arrowhead.
Yep.
That should be a great game, right?
On paper. In theory, yeah, the Chefs are, I believe, currently a 3-point favorite. Just the standard 3-point home number. So if they played a neutral field, they would be a pick'em. According to Vegas, anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's crazy to think that. But that's what they're saying. And I think the 3 points is low.
And you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up because in my head, whenever I see the line, I always figure in the points after that.
Right.
So in my head, I'm thinking they consider this to be a 6-point chef favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
So almost a full touchdown with the home crowd.
Part of me thinks that line's going to go up. The Chiefs at home are just, God, they're ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
They're like, I mean, the Saints at home are one thing. We're like right now. They're attempting a field goal here at the end of the half, and the Chiefs at home are can they be beat? I mean, with this lineup, with Mahomes at quarterback and the way they played yesterday, I mean, that's going to be a tough thing to beat.
Well, the Chargers beat them in Kansas City, didn't they?
I think so, but it was a shootout, though, I think. But either way,
yeah.
I mean, I think it came down, wasn't it a last-minute touchdown by the Chargers? If I remember right.
29-28.
Yeah. So it was the last minute touchdown. Right. Okay. Yeah, that game was back and forth. But, I mean, they're so good, man. They're so good. And that crowd just was going nuts yesterday.
Yeah, you got to give them that, man.
I'm surprised.
I mean, through the bad teams they've had, they've always had tailgaters and sellouts. And, I mean, they have hardcore fans. Because what else are you going to root for there?
Right, exactly. Not only that, but. I mean, did you see the snowball incidents on the sidelines?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they caught somebody on video, like super slow-mo throwing a snowball at a referee or something like that. And so Andy Reid goes to the sidelines. It goes over to the crowd. All he does is just points to his head, like, think for a minute. Like, think what the hell you're doing. cut that shit out.
Right.
It was like Sam Weish when he got on the microphone, famously got on the microphone. And because the Bengals were throwing, the fans were throwing snowballs all over the place. And Weish gets on the horn, gets on the old mic and goes, cut that crap out. This isn't Cleveland. This is Cincinnati. Be better than that. Like just
shamed him.
Yeah, exactly. Shamed him. And the snowball stopped. So.
Well, we'll see. You know what? I never would have thought this was even a possibility, but now seeing how the Eagles are hanging in there in this first half.
Yeah.
Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl, the Andy Reid Bowl. Ooh, how amazing would that man. Be?
That would be crazy. That'd be nuts. And the Rams looked okay yesterday. Looked pretty good. But yeah. I mean,
Dallas hung in there better than I thought.
I still can't get over that loss last week. I know it's been a week, but I'm sitting and watching these games, and I'm like,
I know
we're better than the Rams.
Yeah,
like it's.
And how often have you seen the Ron Rivera Pepsi commercial?
More than I care to. than I care to. I'm just glad that they're rerunning.
It didn't hit the crossbar.
Right.
If it would have gone upright crossbar, then,
and then yesterday, Vinatieri, doink, not even doink, just clunk off the. Oh, jeez. So we're at halftime, Jay. It's 14-10. Will Lutz field goal. So it's 14-10 as we enter intermission. Halftime. Medio tiempo, as the kids say.
As they say.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
So at the half, we've got, what, Nikki Foles? He's one tut, one pick.
Yep.
A $1.56. It's a good half.
That's not bad.
They've got nobody rushing the football. Smallwood, 8 carries, 27 yards. Aguilar's got 12 yards on one carry.
Kamara's only got 5 carries. It's been a fairly even. The Eagles came out guns ablaze and got 2 tuts real quick, and then Saints had the 2 scores in the second quarter, so. Nick Foles, 1 yard TD run.
Yeah. They didn't even give him the yard. 2 carries, 0. Oh, well, I guess they could have, but he must have gotten sacked because he's got 2 carries, 0 yards, and 1 tut.
And 1 tut. That's right. So things hold out. We know it's Patriots at Chiefs.
Correct.
And that is was that the second game Sunday? Is that the first game? I think it's the second game. I think the NFC is first. If there's only some website that would have such
things. Or a company that might.
That maybe wouldn't have it in yet because they have to wait for the actual game to be announced. Let me take a look. Yeah, Patriots Chiefs is the late game.
Super Bowl's in Hotlanta, correct?
Yes. Question mark.
Okay. Well, I heard who the halftime act was today.
It's Maroon 5, right?
With Travis Scott and Big Boy.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, why not just go all Atlanta, man?
Yeah.
It's not like they don't have the great music coming out of there.
Exactly.
They could have filled the entire halftime with it.
Who's the Scott dude again? What's the first name?
Travis Scott.
He was the guy that sold out the United Center. And I have no idea who he is. None. He could have been Benny Hinn for all I knew, right? Like some preacher or something. Like I don't know. But it's like, okay, great. Who is he again? What? I think he's playing back there and they're selling out again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how out of touch we are.
Yes, that's how old and bad I am. Truth.
And weird.
Like, here's, you ready for a segue? Here we go. Is this him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess this is a remix of his.
All right. Get to the riff.
Yeah, man.
Astro.
There you go.
Well, since that's a remix, let me just punch something else for you.
Okay.
Good morning, America.
You know, it's funny when they say fans also like.
Uh-huh.
I know, like, two so names on this list.
Time just wake up, man. You know, just look at the water. Put on the water. The sun ain't even up yet. I'm thinking about the check.
Wow. Woke up selling out United Center twice.
Lord.
Okay. All right, man.
So to show how old I am, Jay.
Yeah.
Older. Older and out of touch I am. I listened to my first audiobook this week.
Okay.
And who gave me that audio? Who gave me the audio? Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Tweedy's biography, or autobiography, nice. I guess, technically, right?
Okay.
Outstanding. It was outstanding.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm glad that he read it and not somebody else.
Right, because the tone would have been lost.
Not only that, but you would miss the conversations he had with his wife.
Yes.
And Spencer and his kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was cool. It's a great story. It's a great, you should get the book or the audiobook if you haven't yet and check it out. It's really good. Like it's a good listen / read. Like some of the stories in there are just like, oh, which is heartbreaking.
Like they were,
you know, like he talks about when Uncle Tupelo broke up. Like Farrar's just like, I'm out, like tells the manager, doesn't tell Jeff, and they were sharing an apartment in Belleville.
All five of them.
Yeah.
And, right.
And Jeff's just sitting in this apartment, empty apartment, waiting for Jay Farrar to walk in, which he disappeared for like 2 or 3 days. Finally shows up and no words were really said. Like Jeff's trying to get an explanation and Jay's having none of it.
Just, right.
Whatever. And then he finds out from a friend that he was pissed off about some alleged hit on his girlfriend or something. And then Jeff explains the story and it seems innocent enough, but you know, like, man, like that's the reason you're going to not do this. Like,
yeah.
And there's two sides to every story, right? Like
there's
Jay's side and there's Jeff's side, but Jeff's side makes Jay sound like a complete tool.
Oh yeah.
Right. Which is something we kind of sort of figured out in a way.
Oh yeah.
He seems pretty.
I mean, he was like fully formed out of the box what he was going to be at like 15.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So it seems like.
And he kind of has just lived his life that way the entire time.
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting about that whole deal, that Tweedy really didn't like the Billy Bragg.
No, he didn't really want to do it.
Collaboration.
No.
And, I mean, he loved kind of what came out of it, and he loved working with the Woody Guthrie stuff, but,
yeah.
You know, whatever. That was a Jay Bennett deal.
He was reluctant.
He pushed that.
Yeah, he was reluctant to start doing it. But once he got into it, he seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny is he found out later that Bragg had gone to Farrar first and asked him to do it. And he goes, and if I would have known that then, I absolutely would not have done this thing
at all. Right.
Yeah. So
it would, that creates an interesting thing. Like how would that have sounded?
Well,
a little different.
You can find out because I think they did it like last year or the year before.
Really?
I think Farrar has done Woody Guthrie stuff recently, and I think Bragg was involved in it too. I'm not sure.
I'll have to find that.
So when I first saw that originally, I'm like, oh man, he was probably pissed that Tweedy got to do this. So then he did it.
Right.
But now hearing that he was offered to him first and he turned it down and then it turned into this big thing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, California Stars is like an anthem for some people.
Right. Exactly. Correct. And he's got to play it.
And that was a demo.
I know. That's the crazy thing is that, like he said,
yes.
He's like, for example, he also talked about recording A Ghost Is Born right before he went into rehab. And he's like, yeah, all my vocals on there are first takes. And the reason why it sounds the way it sounds is because I could barely stand to talk about, like, Kid Smoke. That's a first take.
Wow.
He's like, I was so out of it because of the medication I was on, like the opioids I was abusing, that he couldn't even stand and sing for longer than like a minute.
Wow.
So that whole Kid Smoke, which is 10 minutes long, was that way on purpose.
Wow.
Because he couldn't sing it. Like, he couldn't. That's why there's only like four lines in the whole song. And it's this droning kraut rock thing. And everybody, oh, yeah, it was kraut rock. And they did whatever. No, the reason why they did it is because he couldn't sing it. Like, he admitted it on the audiobook. He's like,
yeah,
I wasn't in any shape to do anything on that album. Hardly at all. I wrote the songs.
Right.
But he's like, I was so out of my mind on Vicodin that. And the worst thing. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No.
What I was going to say was, probably the worst thing possible for him was when he dropped his prescription off the pharmacy.
Yeah.
The tech knew who he was.
Drug dealer.
Yeah. He was also on drugs.
Yeah.
And knew who Jeff Tweedy was. So he literally brought a ginormous bag of pills to the loft.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So
I know. And Tweedy's all nervous, you know, aren't you worried you're going to get caught or something? He goes, hey, man, I'm the one that counts them.
Right.
And he goes, you know how many pills we go right. through in a month?
Right.
They're not going to miss a couple hundred.
Right, exactly. And you just go, really? Like, damn.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
But then Tweedy also said when he was in rehab, he met a guy in there that had been a pharmacist. And yeah. apparently that's a real, you know, problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having access to that stuff.
100%.
Which you could see.
Sure. I mean, just having any access to that stuff has just got to be crazy, like tempting, especially if you have any kind of addictive personality.
Right.
I mean, and Jeff finally got the help he needed, thankfully, and so far so good since, you know, Ghost is born, but... Man.
And this is what I was going to say earlier is, I mean, I assume that Farrar would have found a way to mess this up eventually, right? And Tupelo would have been done over something.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Imagine if it hadn't.
I know.
And like, yeah. Because basically Tweedy thought, well, I'm a side guy. You know, I sing a couple songs and the songs I write are to complement the songs that Jay writes.
Right.
And this is just what I do.
Right. He never would have ventured on his own.
No, I don't think so. I think it was strictly a confidence thing.
For sure. And
this forced him to.
Yeah, and for sure. And then, like, he mentioned that wholeheartedly. He's like, look, if, you know, when I recorded AM, I thought the songs were pretty good, you know, and then, like, the record company thought that they could piggyback AM as a good start to put out Sunvolt.
Yeah.
And just like, fuck you.
Right.
And he knew right then that he said that, I believe he said that was
the moment. Know your audience.
Yeah. Right. He said that, like, that's the moment I realized I can't do this.
Right.
Style of music.
But he even said that most of those songs were written when he was in Tupelo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when he wrote them.
Right.
And he had written them to complement Farrar's like slow, draggy, depressing, mm-hmm. bullshit that
the
whole album couldn't be that way. So I had to throw in some easy rockers.
I had to throw in Screen Door. I had to, you know, it's kind of what I had to do.
Yeah.
And then and then Bennett joins on Being There.
Mm-hmm.
And the profound statement from the Bennett stuff was that that Jeff thought that if Bennett had stayed in the band
at
any point after he got fired from the band, that Jeff Tweedy would have died.
Mm-hmm.
That, because, I mean, they both were out of control, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Both Bennett and him were just pilling it up. And then the odd thing is that Jeff called him out on pills, which struck me as odd.
Getting them from FedEx.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he denied it. And then the guy that ran the loft... For those that don't know,
they're counting pills.
Yeah, I know. For those that don't know, the band Wilco has their own recording, storage, everything place in Chicago on the northwest side called The Loft. So that's what they go. Jeff goes there every single day. Yeah. So,
and it's a little different than Trax, where R. Kelly resides.
It's a little different. Yeah. And the reason why he made the loft at all was because of the monkeys, which is pretty funny.
The TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. The TV show. Cause he thought, you know, oh, well, every band stays in a house and,
right.
So he made this utopian place where all their gear was stored and they recorded all their albums and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Craziness. But that,
well, I'm going to circle back to Travis Scott for you.
Okay.
Before he signed on to do part of halftime with Maroon 5, he teamed up with the NFL to donate $500,000 to Dream Corps. I didn't know what Dream Corps was, so I had to look it up. And it said, Dream Corps has been at the forefront of social justice issues, pioneering new initiatives that close prison doors and open doors of opportunity for all.
Huh. That's something very not NFL-like.
Right?
But
so I'm sure that he was behind that. And maybe he's kind of a Chance the Rapper type cat that is also a social activist.
Well, good. That doesn't bother me at all. Honestly.
Right. No, me neither. Yeah. I'm on board. Yeah, 100%. Great. I mean, I'm not saying that I get down with the cat's music, but.
Right. But it's Maroon 5. It's Travis Scott and Big Boy, right?
Correct.
Did you see the big boy, Tiny Desk, by the way?
Not yet.
It is outstanding.
I hate myself. I know.
Outstanding.
You told me to listen to that a long time ago.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Andre 3000 can't be bothered, but Big Boy is going to be right there for you. Giving you all the hits.
Regardless. What's Andre up to now? Is he still trying to act?
That's a great question. I think so. I know he did that Hendrix movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's about, and I never saw it, but I know he did it. That's about it. Big Boy. Yeah, I think they were actually doing a show in DC. They were on a little tour or something because he had his whole band with him. I find it hard to believe he'd fly them all up just to do the Tiny Desk concert.
Right.
But they were great. George Clinton was there, not in a separate one. George Clinton has a Tiny Desk now, and Wu-Tang has a Tiny Desk. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. All really good. Really, really good. But the Big Boy one was especially good.
NPR, they can pull the music, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last night, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was, I hope it was recorded, but they did a tribute to Willie Nelson in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mr. Isbell got up there and did a little something. And
nice.
Yeah. He goes, the best part about Bridgestone Arena is that you can turn it up all the way. He's like, you just turn it up. It doesn't matter. Like at the Ryman, it's so small that you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like you just can't turn your amps up because it's just, you're just going to blow everybody or out.
Play anything as a snare other than a pot or
exactly.
Can.
Right. Exactly. But he says, Bridgestone Arena, turn up all you want. Like, great. Let's go. And he recorded, I don't know if he's on every song on it, but he's on the new Todd Snyder album, apparently, which is cool.
Isbell?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And he recorded something over last week. He put a picture up on his Twitter account. It was him, Sheryl Crow, Steve Jordan, the drummer from, from Keith, from the Expensive Winos, and Aubrey Freed. From the Crows. I'm piqued. My interest has been piqued. I want to hear that.
Okay.
I need to hear that. And then somebody responded, who played bass or something like that? And Isbell tweets back, like, did you not see Sheryl Crow in the picture?
Nice.
So Sheryl Crow on bass. It was Audley and Jason on guitar and Steve Jordan on drums.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And another thing I didn't know about Steve Jordan, and I have to triple check this, but I believe he played with John Mayer.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He was in the, Letterman's band for a while.
Yeah, he was. Yep. Yeah. Until, Mr. Fig showed up, but yeah,
right.
I believe that's true. And then, you know, obviously he played with Keith. He's been on a lot of things. Session guy in New York, pretty much now. That's all he does. But
can you imagine?
Oh my God. Yeah. Steve Jordan's a real deal, man. That guy's a real deal.
100%. Yeah, he was in the Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll movie.
Yeah.
With Chuck Berry. He was a drummer in that.
Yeah. And then news broke, again, last week. Ryan Adams is doing 3 albums this year.
Okay, so,
only 3.
A solo, Cardinals.
All solo. Also.
Really?
Yeah. No Cardinals. Cardinals are dead.
Wow.
Yeah, the guitar player from the Cardinals plays with Chris Robinson's band.
Okay.
Yeah, but
no. Hey, do you know Paul Stacey?
No.
Okay, so I'm looking up to see, because I fell back into my Oasis K-hole.
Sure.
And my favorite bass songs, I'm looking to see who's on there, because I knew they fired the regular bass player okay. before they did this album.
Yeah.
And Noel plays bass on most of it, yeah, which is surprising. Amazing.
Right.
But then this Paul Stacey cat, who's normally a guitar player and had a band in England too.
Okay.
He plays bass on a couple of songs that are phenomenal. And then he goes and plays with the Black Crowes.
Really?
After Mark Ford leaves.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
So I'm like, what a weird combo, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Like, I know one of the bass players that filled in when Ford left. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Mark Ford plays guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the bass players that left when Johnny Colt, that's who the bass player is.
Yeah.
What a weird name. Anyway, when he left, was this guy named Greg Arzab.
Fired him.
Yeah. Was a guy named Greg Arzab. And Greg Arzab grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago. He played with Buddy Guy forever. And it's weird that he would play with the Crowes. I mean, maybe not really if you knew him. Like, he would always come into the store, let's just say, herbal remedied.
Yeah.
Seemingly. But great dude. So
that's what they had in common?
I think so. But great dude. Like, awesome guy. He talked music for hours. Like, one time he talked about, he actually tried out for the Stones when Wyman left.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 Mick wanted him to because he played with Buddy.
Right.
So, Nick, yeah, he saw him over there and, you know, played with him for a little bit. And he's very, very
Daryl's from Chicago, too, though.
Yeah, Daryl's right? Chicago, too, yeah. But he was very nonchalant about it. Like, Greg's, yeah, I played with them, you know, trying not to. He's a pretty humble guy. Like, yeah.
Humble brag.
Exactly, humble brag. You're like, yeah, you know, I played with him for a little bit, and it went pretty well, but obviously Daryl got the job. Daryl's way better than me anyway, so it didn't really matter. I was like, dude, you're a good bass player. Like, I've seen you in concert. Like, I saw you play with Buddy. You're great. Like, don't sell yourself short. This bass you're thing might work slouch. Out for you. So you might want to keep playing it. Yeah, but he ended up with the Crowes, which is weird. And then he left them, and I believe he's currently playing with John Mayall's Blues Breakers.
Oh, wow.
I think John Mayall's still doing stuff, and I think Greg is his bass player. Yeah, yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
So did you get any more vinyl this week, Jay? Or?
Did I get any more vinyl?
Yeah.
No.
Taking a step back.
Well, no, I'm just waiting for imports.
Now the truth comes out.
Yeah, I got Exile coming from England.
Do you?
And then, first two Noel Gallagher solo albums coming.
Okay.
From across the pond.
Are those High Flying Birds or is that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just waiting on Tuesday, which is my favorite, which is my favorite day of the week. It's payday.
Yeah.
So I got a couple things I want to get, but I don't know.
And that's, and trying to explain this to my wife. I mean, there are a few albums that I want to get with the quality grade vinyl that they have now, and I want them new. Mm-hmm. But the most enjoyment I believe that I'm going to get out of this new record player is being able to go and just dig through things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking for gems. I mean, you've got your list of things that you want.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I have a list of, I'm doing my best to not buy anything off my top 10 list until I fill the list. And then we'll go to crate digging. Oh, this would be cool. Boom. This would be cool. Boom. Trying my best. Now my trip, as we talked about in the last podcast, where I went to the record store and I ended up with Ghost is Born, but that was because I didn't want to go empty handed.
Quite a drive.
Right. Exactly. Hey,
you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. The coach reached out to me and said that we need to go up, grab lunch one day, and I'll hit Kiss the Sky together.
Yeah.
Before baseball starts.
Let's wait till the spring or summer when they get a little more stock, because it was pretty
pretty bare after
it
Christmas.
Was, yeah, it was pretty slim pickings. Not the artist slim pickings. I mean, I'm sure they have some slim pickings in their catalog, but not. It was pretty bare. Yeah,
Slim Whitman for sure.
That's right. And
now, like, do you want to share the story of Vian Ghost is Born and then finding out what it's going for?
Oh, yeah. So this part, I'm not sure if I put on the podcast. So I'm checking Discogs because I want to add, I moved A Ghost is Born from my want list to my collection. So put it up there, right? And then I saw these different pressings and I saw one for $50. I'm like, that's weird. And I look and it's got a special thing on the gatefold and it's got a special label on the records. And I'm like, I didn't even open mine yet. Let me go open it. Like, I didn't even think about opening it to see if it was some special version or something.
Right.
Sure enough, open it up, gatefold, there's the art. I open the record. It's on the record, you know, the label on the LP. Thing's worth like $60. And I bought it for $22. Like, all right.
Just making money.
Just already making money. That's right.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a day trip. We're having a podcast day trip.
Yeah.
Where there are three record stores in Bloomington. There might be more than that. Or Normal, I should say, not Bloomington.
Right.
That we'll need to scope. Go do some digging.
Agreed.
And see what we can find. And it's, again, the fact that there are two record stores, like three doors down from each other, a little spooky. But to be fair, they are different records. Fair. Like, they're kind of, to be fair, I finally got the reference, by the way.
Good.
Letterkenny. So,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So there's two stores, and we may have explained this last time, but I'll explain it again. One of them is mainly used, like used, like old.
Right.
Right. I don't want to say vintage. That's probably the wrong word, but they're older albums. They have a few new ones. There's like four bins of new. But almost the entire store is all used. And then the other store is the flip. It's 90% new. And they have some used, but it's mainly new. So it's, if you want the new stuff, you go to this store. If you want the vinyl stuff, the older stuff, you go to the other store. That's kind of how it works. They might even be owned by the same people. I don't know. I wouldn't think so.
They are.
If they are, then that's perfect.
Right.
That's fine. And then there's another one. What's the name? Reverberation Records.
Yes,
vinyl. Which is on, yes. Reverberation Vinyl, thank you. That's on Main Street, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go
next to Muggsy's.
Yep. So we'll go there. So maybe we'll do that first. Maybe we'll go to Muggsy's first, have a little lunch, and then
it's good eating.
Yeah, we'll go and then you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that'll be soon. And I'll tell you this. I mean, my number one dig is going to be Can't Buy a Thrill.
Is it?
Because it was never reissued.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And try not to pay through the nose for it.
Well, it's all like 72 and 70. I take it back. I think it came out in 72 and then they did a 76 reissue, but never after that.
Okay.
So,
cause like, I mean, I have a dig, which I'll never find. Cause anybody that owns a copy of it knows it's worth a lot of money. And that is two record store days ago. So this is like 2016. Yeah. I think it was Isbell. Isbell and the 40 unit recorded at Welcome to 1979 direct to lacquer.
Wow.
So there's no taping. There's no mixing. It's just on directly to the lacquer, which they
into the cone.
Correct. Into the record store plant.
Wow.
So yeah. Yes. That is $150.
Oh my goodness.
Like, you can find them.
Yeah.
You can find them, but got to pay through the nose for it. And that's the only recorded that I know of version of Atlantic City.
Oh, wow.
Is on that. I think they do it's three songs per side. I think Never Gonna Change is on there. I think Heart on a String maybe might be on there.
Mm.
But Atlantic City's on there. They do a John Prine cover, and one other song. Yeah. But I've heard the version of Atlantic City. Somebody ripped it and put it on YouTube. So I've heard the audio of it. It sounds amazing. It sounds really good. Tight. Like, the band is so tight. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to digging. There's some stuff that I'm, you know, that I wouldn't mind finding. If I stumble across it, I'll get it. But I'm not going to pay through the nose for it, A.
Right.
And B, if the, I'm looking, I think we're looking at different, we may have different philosophies on this. I want a player's grade record. Like, I literally don't care if the cover's beat up. What's the vinyl look like?
Gotcha.
If the vinyl doesn't look like it's been taken to a belt sander, then I'm good with it. If I have to, if it's $10, great. You know, and there's some stuff I'm going to have to get new. Like, for example, I think Tuesday I'm going to order and cross one off the list in Copper Blue by Sugar, because the version they have has Beaster with it. Like, Beaster is an EP they put out after Copper Blue, which is all the stuff that they recorded for Copper Blue but didn't make Copper Blue. That makes any sense.
No, it does.
So it's an EP.
Matthew Sweet did Son of Beast.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that. So they have that now together on one SKU.
As vinyl?
One vinyl.
Okay.
It's a gatefold. It's two LPs, but Copper Blue's one and Beaster's the other.
Nice.
And that I'm not going to find used anywhere. So I'm just going to go ahead and get that, I think. Bullet. And I'll have that Thursday probably is when they'll deliver it. But other than that, like, I'm like, there's like a bunch of Stones albums I'd love to have, but I'm not.
I know, man.
I want to get them. I'd rather get them on as cheaply as possible. I don't want to have to buy them new.
Right.
Knowing I can buy them new is nice. Like, Physical Graffiti, I'm looking for a copy. Like, there's this guy I follow on YouTube. He's a vinyl collector. Too Many Records is the name of the channel. And he found a copy of Physical Graffiti in a store for $14.
Wow.
He's like, well, the it's got a rip here and there's a rip here, but the vinyl seems to be in a good spot. I'm like, that's the kind of shit I'm looking for.
Got it.
You know? Like, it doesn't have to be pristine. Like, the copy of Yes I bought Fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Cover's pretty beat up. It's not cut or anything, but it's got some scuff marks on the album cover. And
yeah, but it was $8.
But it was $8 and it plays great. And I played it. Yeah. It sounds fine. So
not
really all that concerned about it. I'm more concerned with the album condition than the cover condition.
I, as a vinyl owner, as a youngster, was the worst. I took care of nothing.
Really?
And part of me wants to get a nice version now just to prove to myself that I can take
care of it. You still take care of it? One thing I do need to get, and maybe this is something we can find at one of the record stores, is a cleaning kit.
Yeah.
Because I don't have one. That's something I need to get my hands on. So, like, you know, remember the old school wooden
I know exactly what you're talking
wooden
about.
Wooden handle, velvet top to it. This must be velvet. What is that, velvet?
Nice.
Where you put the solution on and then you clean the record.
Mm-hmm. With
it. Yeah. I looked on Amazon for them. I couldn't find them. But that'll be a day. We're gonna have an old school Joe and Jay podcast trip.
Yes.
And did you see this? By the way, see this here about this. There's a podcast convention. I don't know if you knew about this or not. It's called Podcast Movement.
Oh, no.
And it's pretty killer. It's not super cheap, unfortunately.
Oh.
So it probably rules us out. But it's in Orlando.
Oh, of course it is.
Not at Disney World.
No.
But it's in Orlando. Last year it was in Philly. This year it's in Orlando.
Huh.
So, yeah. Just something to think about. But it's not, I think, to register for it's like, I want to say it's $250, but but there's seminars and there's all this other stuff that goes with it. And then, obviously they have a block of hotel rooms at the place it's happening at.
Sure.
So, I mean, if I had the spare change, I'd say, let's go. But
yeah, I think I'd rather go see a music festival and then podcast.
I would much rather do that or travel to a record store or another town with great record stores. Like to go to Chicago, for example.
Yeah.
And get a cheap hotel room there and go vinyl hunting there would be fun.
No doubt.
Yeah. No chance of my driving there and doing all that. But I would certainly, do that. Go on like a record store crawl or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And Blueberry Hill in St. Louis, they have a dozen... Whatever is next to the Duck Room, isn't that still a record store?
I think so. And Nashville would be great to go to, too.
Oh, Nashville.
Go to Grimes and Ernest Tubbs. But what I understand is a lot of those record stores, I don't know about Grimes is fairly big, but a lot of these places are really small. They're not very big.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not enough of an aficionado and or collector. I would be able to go in there and, you know, get an Ernest Tubb album and have him be like, well, you know, rookie, dumbass, you know, everybody gets this, and I'd be just fine to have it.
Correct.
You know?
Yep. Yep. 100%. I'm not a snob yet.
No, that's, I mean, on my list is like, there's a lot of like Porter and Dolly and Conway
fun.
And Loretta.
Yeah.
And
old school.
So
freaking old school. George Jones.
Exactly. Sure. Oh, George and Tammy. Sure.
That'd be great. Yeah. 100%. Man. Any old school country artists like that. 100% down with it. If you find one of those for $6 at a dig, done.
Bought. Yeah.
Cross off the list. 100%.
You got it.
Yeah, man.
All right, kid. Well, the clock on the wall.
The clock on the wall says it's time. Thanks for listening to this episode of It's That Podcast. It's episode 53. We are on Facebook, www.facebook.com/It'sThatPod. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J the letter. Sleet Shirley. You can email us, joe@itsthatpodcast.com or jason@itsthatpodcast.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Alexa. Just by saying, hey, Alexa, play It's That Podcast. You can also find our stuff on Podbean, and you can also find our stuff at our website, www.itsthatpodcast.com. We thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast.